Okay, Kirk, we're ready to go.
Hello and welcome to the Beacon Group's Noon Step Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Kirk and I'm an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a much needed moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. A preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. We ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience and are willing to be a sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting, except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. Then we split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. I've asked Bob to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah, my name's Bob. I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic, although I am slightly insane, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all his defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service.
Thanks, Bob. Today, we'll hear a talk on steps 4 and 5 with a focus on fear and steps. Please give a warm welcome to Liz S. from Singer Island, Florida.
Thank you, Kirk. Thank you, John. Thanks to the entire service team. No thanks to Sunny. No, I'm only kidding. A lot of thanks to Sunny. My name is Liz, and I am a grateful recovering alcoholic in the middle of the herd of Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay, I'm going to say a little prayer. I just want to make sure my sound is good. I am on my phone for technical reasons, talking into my, earbuds. I'm going to say a little prayer. It's a prayer. It is not from a literature, but kind of is, really. I'm going to take a breath. And I'm going to cast my burden. I'm casting my burden of fear to the gods within and without, so that I may go free to have plenty. And what does that mean? It means that I am fear driven. I am full of fear. I am riddled with fear. Sunny came in and she asked me, would you share at Boston Beacon? You should know that this is a meeting I have been to in person back in the day before COVID in the original night group on Beacon Street, several blocks from my parents' house in very early recovery and later on in my recovery, passing through Boston. What I want to do is I want to share my experience, strength, and hope as regards the practical magic of the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm so nervous. My throat is drying up. So I'm gonna cover my little mic thing here and take a sip of water so it's not recorded like a big gulp. You know what I'm saying? Okay, that's better. Thank you. My sobriety date is May 17, 1997. And you can do the math. I was honored, thrilled, excited, hysterical, amazed, in awe that I recently celebrated 26 years. One heartbeat, as Liz Bailey would say, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day at a time in a row, long enough to do this work. So I'm just going to give you a really brief how I got to four and how I got to the, we turned back to the list. We reviewed the list. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. And then now about sex. So I'm going to get there. This is how I got there. One night I was drunk in a basement discotheque on the Boulevard Montparnasse in Paris, France. I didn't know what I didn't know, like most of us, as far as I know. Sorry about that. What happens on my phone is that I may get a call or something. So there might be a slight glitch. I just decline. So, sorry about that. And the next day, I made a phone call to Alcoholics Anonymous. So you might hear me mention the abbreviations DI, that will stand for Divine Intervention. What happens after Divine Intervention, I call DB, Divine Benevolence. No matter how afraid I am, if I go through that fear, I will experience divine benevolence. I have a position of complete neutrality as to what my sponsees, my sober brothers and sisters, my sponsors, people I sober support, and the rest of you believe or call. If you want, when I say DI or DB, it's God in your head, it's God in your head. And for someone who actually doesn't believe in a designer, creator, one God, I say thank God a lot. I probably say thank God more than anybody I know. So one night I was drunk. I didn't know it was my last drink. And the next day I am shaking and baking and I make a phone call and I ended up with a woman who eventually became my first sponsor. May she rest in peace. So before I go any further, let me just say this. I did not come here to quit drinking. I came here to learn how to drink without negative consequences. Okay. But that's not what happened at my first meeting, second meeting, third meeting, fourth. I feel like saying one tequila, two tequila, three tequila floor, right? Like, look at it, Sunny. She knows what I'm talking. Is that how did I get to taking my inventory? How did I get to taking a seeking and thorough And here's where I disagree with Bill Wilson. Now, hold on. I got an empty chair next to me, okay? I am not, Sonny knows me. I am not someone who is a big book thump, you know, line by line, word by word. I would like to rewrite it, and I have rewritten it, but never the principle of courage. So my sponsor, my first sponsor, Carol, made me look up words. I was a professor of English, by the way, when I got sober. How about that? How about that? A professor of English. Do you know who I am? I said to her, do you know what I do? She said, I don't care if you wrote the Oxford English Dictionary. Look it up. So watch this. My name is Liz. I am an alcoholic. Okay. So medically, that is right out of our big book, Doctor's Opinion, more about alcoholism. I have just admitted to you all, because I learned to do it, that I cannot take a drink with impunity. There's something different about me that differentiates me in the mind and the body. When I take a drink from, let's say, my two younger brothers, we come from the same family. We come from the same parents, what Bill Wilson called the causes and conditions. And I'm going to refer back to that. I'm going to refer back to causes and conditions. Okay. I'll start by saying trauma was my gateway drug. Remember that. Trauma was my gateway drug into the bottle. So, Carol... Eventually, I got Carol as a sponsor. I didn't make this up. I had to be in a place of such pitiful and comprehensible demoralization and early recovery to say, okay, I don't know what to do. See, I came in and said, I know what to do. I know what to do. If you teach me some trick that has to do with a higher power, I mean, for heaven's sake, you know, I'd seen the movies. I thought, you know, Jack Klugman was going to be my sponsor and then I'd marry him. You know what I'm saying? So it's like Days of Wine and Roses. But it turns out I walked into my first meeting, second meeting, third, fourth, ninth, 48th, 900th, literally. And this is what I heard. I heard talk about how to manage shame. Guilt, remorse, anger on any level, smoldering ember to burning bonfire, to fireworks. It took me to admit, to disclose. Honesty to Liz, Carol took me through that. My sponsors from the get-go, Carol, then Brian, and so on. And I've got sponsors on here right now. I did not get sober in a very big book oriented environment. I was taken through, we did big book studies. I mean, I read the big book, I asked questions, but my sponsors were all like me, expats in France, and Brian, who's a gay man, that we got sober to 12 and 12. So our noses were in step study in the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous, which, as you all know, came later than the big book of AA. I'm here to talk about my experience, strength, and hope with what happened when my sponsors, first Carol and then Brian in my early days, and then later on, the move back to America and other sponsors locally, saw fit, they were satisfied with my progress in the following principles. You can rewrite the steps all you want, but the following principles are immutable, don't change. Of honesty with Liz, meaning I could be on, I'm not swimming in a river of denial. I got this. I got nothing. I'll tell you what I got a thing between my ears called Liz's brain. And it's not because I was born that way. I wasn't born bad. I wasn't born sad. I wasn't born mad. I was made that way. And I, watch this. This is where I become a little bit of an AA blasphemer, an AA, what's known, heretic. I do not believe that I got here, or the women I sponsor get here, or the people who sponsored me got here on the wings of self-love, self-value, self-worth. So I don't want, sorry, goes to Bill Wilson sitting right next to me in this chair. I can't speak for him. He's not here. I'm not a speaker who's going to say Bill Wilson meant, or this is what it means. My sponsors took what they needed and left the rest. And that's what they passed on to me. And this is what I learned. I came to believe, because we came to believe together, that I was now learning how to make connections with human beings. The principle of hope, the solution. There was hope for this alcoholic. I thought I knew everything. And as soon as I admitted I knew nothing, I was able to ask. And it was like I'd trip to the dentist. Believe me, I was like, I don't want to do it. But that's hope. I, who connected to things, to geography while I was in the bottle, started to connect long before I even got into step work with other human beings. And that was you all. I never even heard of that alcohol at the meetings I went to with parents. We didn't even talk about boots. We talked about how do we be human? How do the steps help us, right? To be human and not be destructive to ourselves and others. The primary purpose, to not drink and help others, to achieve sobriety. So that principle of hope carried me into faith. And I was in very secular AA. I do not believe that my higher powers with, oh, I do believe in them, all right. And if you don't, that's cool too. Okay, lots of secular people, atheists in AA, but let me tell you something. If you think you could control what you could not, come on down to my house and face a Category 3 hurricane. Sonny's down here right in the kisser, right? You want to see a power greater than Liz, right, Sonny? She knows. We live down here. We got one eye on the coast of Africa and the other eye on our own business, right? This time of year until November. That's where fear kicks in. But you see, there's good fear. There's fear that we need to survive. You know, so now my sponsor is taking me through these principles so that I am now in a position to make a decision and jump off the famous frog log of step 3 to enact the rest of the solutions 3 through 12 so that I could heal. And she was very emphatic. And then after her came Brian, very emphatic. And I, as a sponsor, am very emphatic that that healing is lifelong and changes. My needs today in my 27th year are very different than when I was 7 weeks sober, 7 months sober, 7 years sober. I'm an older woman with older woman issues. I had a PTSD due to this and that that kicked in at 20 years sober, where rage was my master and I needed a power greater than that. And thank God I had those years behind me because I knew what to do about it. So now let me get to courage. It was assumed and presumed through my thoughts, my actions, basically my actions and my deeds by my sponsor that get writing, make a grudge list. And there I love the big book. I like the big book is very simple to me. It's 3 columns. It's great. I mean, it's like, there it is. You know, it's like, we made a grudge list. I'm resentful at. Second column, why? Third column. And I, by the way, just so you know, AA heresy, passing your seatbelts. I don't use the word self-esteem. I don't like the word esteem. I'm not going to, it's like, I had a problem with a big ego. So I don't like to use the word esteem. I like self-worth, self-value. You know, whatever you want to put in there. And I share that with my sponsees. So that was pretty easy. I still do that. I do that technique. Let me show you what this looks like when I get to fear. I'm going to fear and sex now. So now the presumption is I have done the work, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and I keep there. I stay there. People talk about the maintenance of 10, 11, 12. Oh, yeah? I'm also 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 12. There are steps that are quantifiable. You can't I mean, I admit I'm an alcoholic and all of that implies. You know, or I don't. You can quantify that. But coming to believe in a power greater than Liz can restore me to sanity, meaning right action, clarity, meaning caring about my sanity. You know, how do you quantify that? You know, how do you quantify it as a sponsor, even when you're working with someone? I don't know. Believe me when I say it, there are powers greater than Liz, and I have to turn to them within and without. 3, made a decision to turn my will and my will, what's that? Desire for outcome. Aha. There it is. She made me look it up. Desire for outcome. So I love the expression, trust in God, but tie up your camels. My higher powers, whatever form they take, will not will not do for Liz what Liz can do for herself. You think my higher powers, whether they be the goddesses of wind, whether they be, you know, I don't care what they are, they're greater than Liz. The random chaos of the divine intervention, divine benevolence, is not going to sit there and write my resentment list. So I did it. I didn't know what I was doing. Are you kidding me? Somebody said, you're gonna write all your resentments down, and we're gonna then, you know, look at that, and you know, the time it takes face to face, you know, in my apartment, said my sponsor. I said, wait a minute, somebody's gonna listen to my stuff for hours on end for free. Where do I sign up? It was, you know, it was the blame game. So I didn't know then what I know now is that I had to go through that blame game. It's laid out here, although I don't see Bill Wilson's inventory anywhere in the big book, but that's for another meeting and another discussion. But, you know, he talks about, you know, Mr. Brown and Mrs. Jones in my book. And then examples, affects mine. I sat with my first sponsor and I gave her that grudge list. And she said, now I'm about 5 months sober. And she said to me, one line, she asked me one question in that fifth step. She said, what do you think you did? She had a very harsh voice. No sense to what. She goes, what do you think you did when you were five to make your mother want to kill you? I had no answer for that. How do you answer that question? What was that about? It is only years later, years, that I could look back and see that Carol was in fact like my murdering mother, my father. She did what she knew how to do. She did what she knew how to do. But 5 days after she asked me that question, I fell apart at a double speaker meeting in Paris, one of my home groups. And I landed in the arms of my second sponsor, Brian. He said, time to change sponsors. And that's when he took me back through that grudge list. He said, we turn back to the list, but not before he said, nobody takes the inventory of a child. What happened to you as a child was not your fault, but it's your responsibility. Now I am a sober adult. So now I can tell you, I have done a million step fours, grudge list first. What am I? Any fear that I have is the master driver, is the pilot of my plane, how many, you know, analogies do you want? Fear will drive my bus. So this is what I learned about fear. When I go back to a grudge list, so let me do it what I did this morning, okay? This is, now, remember, this is 20 plus years, 25, 26 years later. Practice. You get better and quicker at stuff. I'm not better because I'm smarter, you know, I'm better now. It's simply the practice of looking at Liz, what's really going on, what am I feeling in the body, what is its source, and how do I, where does my fear, which will manifest in me, not everybody in me, is fight or flight, baby, or even freeze. Some of us are fawns, otherwise known as codependent. My amygdala behind my ear is skewed. My problem is physiological with PTSD. But how does that negatively affect others? Where did I act in a way that was, as Bilson very clearly talks about, that we refer to as bedevilments, in a selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate way, sex inventory and the fear. It's all fear driven. That's important to remember in the sex inventory about my relations with others, sexual and otherwise, romantic, is that fear drove me. So this is what I learned a long time ago. It's not out of the big book. It's not out of AA literature. It's a parable that was told to me and about a warrior who wants to be a sensei. And she goes to her master, her sensei. She says, I want to be a sensei now. I have trained with you. And the sensei says, you have but one thing to do, to become a sensei. You must do battle with fear. And the warrior says, but master, sensei, how do you do battle with fear? That's impossible. I can never win against fear. And the sensei says, you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. So the warrior goes away and she meditates on it and she thinks about it and she cogitates on it and she calls up on her higher powers. And then she says, oh, and she calls fear to her. And fear fills the sky and it's black and it's dark. It's like our Florida thunderstorms, as Sunny knows well. It's like a solar eclipse at 2 p.m. And the warrior bows to fear. She kowtows 3 times and she goes, fear, I have conjured you up. And I bow to your power. And fear goes, well, that's refreshing. Everybody thinks that I'm nothing and could be dealt with. And I know you're here to do battle with me, and I will tell you how to win against me because you showed me the respect I deserve. I get up right close in your face and I natter away. If you can see my window, if you're looking, I mean, God forbid, I don't even know what I look like because I'm not looking at myself. I'm focused on Sunny here at my screen. But if fear gets right up close in your face, and it natters away and it chatters away until it gets you to do, it gets me to do what it wants me to do, which is to run or to fight and to approach my life, even dead, raw, sober, like a bar fight. I'll break this bottle and I'll shove it in your face because I'm afraid. So she does not do what fear tells her to do. And she becomes a sensei. Fear will never go away. I will never rise above human being. I had to learn that I wasn't born bad, that there is no point in calling me names. There's no point in, I did not come in here again on the wings of self-love, so I don't refer to myself as defective or my women or the women I work with as defects or failures as going human concerns. I get to choose today the things that were taught to me. I didn't make them up. I'm not the broken toy. I'm not a misfit. How do you think I got here to begin with? Alcohol made me not a misfit until it didn't anymore. Alcohol said, you're okay, I'm okay, the world's okay, until it didn't. So now I refer back to my blame list. I had to play the blame game. And then I referred back to the list. And I had to do it with guidance. The infamous fourth column that is never said, here's the fourth column, right? My part. I played no part as a 5-year-old child, as an 8-year-old, as a 12-year-old. Sexually molested, physically abused. Okay, what Bill Wilson talks about causes and conditions, but it's my responsibility now. So where do I go? Let's take a look in a fun way. What I did this morning. Oh man, I'm so nervous. Why? I want you, why? What am I afraid of? What's the primal fear? I know this by now. Abandonment. Abandonment as a human being. It's the primal fear that drives at least this alcoholic. And not because I'm an alcoholic, by the way. All humans have that fear. It's just in me, it's slightly exaggerated and has repercussions. Because I, as someone who is Liz, if I'm not mindful, 3, 7, 11, okay? I am 3, 7, 11. I am going to act out what other, maybe in the therapeutic environment, called flashback or trigger, a hair trigger. You ever notice that we don't call triggers molasses or honey? They're called triggers for a reason. So now I'm harnessing courage. I wish Bill, here's another thing, heretic, blasphemy, thousand, sorry. Bill Wilson wrote fearless inventory. What do you mean, fearless? If the principle is courage of step 4, all of it, courage, and 5, integrity, how can you have courage without if you have no fear? I'll have no fear when I'm dead or on such major amounts of Thorazine that it's like it doesn't matter, right? I mean, no offense to anybody who has to be on Thorazine, but you know what I'm saying. So I refer back to the list. I did this with my second sponsor. He assured me, you're not bad. Nobody's born in alcohol. Well, who am I to say? B I can't tell if I was born an actor. I was born authentic. I was born a child. I was born innocent. I was a child. For some of you will say I was a child of God. What a piece of work is man. How no rhyme or reason. How infinite in majesty, in action. How unlike a God. Hamlet, Shakespeare, the musical Hair, where they sing it. I'm never going to rise above human being. So I woke up this morning after years of practice of this, and I'm like so nervous, and thank you, John. And I want to be good. 4 minutes now to just to show you. I can't believe that I went on and on. I didn't even say anything. I wrote down, I have a resentment, AA/Sunny. Second column. I wrote it. It's quantifiable. Did you write it? I wrote it. Second column. What did she do? She asked me to talk about, you know, step 4 and 5, fear and sex. Okay, you're my fifth step. You, all of you, all 37. I trust you, your family. So I'm taking a fifth step. So I'm telling you, in the telling, I'm practicing integrity, integrity. Third column. And what did somebody do? She, okay, what does AA do? Say yes to AA requests. Suit up and show up. No matter what, you know, unless you have a good excuse, you know, reason. Uh-oh. Sorry, was that was Alexa. Oh, my God. I don't even know why Alexa said that. Can you hear me? Is everything okay? I'm not frozen? I'm good. Okay, sorry about that. And I'm being recorded in like 3 minutes. So third column is, what does it affect? Doesn't affect my financial security. It does not affect my physical security. Does it affect my emotional security? Yes. Does it affect my emotional balance? Yes. So now, practicing integrity, I'm going to tell somebody. I could be my husband, my sponsor. And right now, you all, step 5, practicing integrity, to mine own self be truthful. I want you to like me. I want to make sense. I want to sound good. I want to be the AA poster child. I want to quote the big book, chapter and verse, or this thing or that. That's not about you or Sunny, who I adore. It's about me saying, fear, I'm not going to call Sunny and pretend to be sick and cancel. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go in there and say, fear will lead me to that sex inventory, because I'm going to do this really quick. Let's talk about sex. There's no difference. I had to do several of them, and I did it at 3 years sober. That's 23 years ago when I met the man who became my husband, not your husband, because that was my history, my own husband. And I was going to run, and I had to go back and look that my behavior needed an overhauling, because in my grudge list, my blame list, I had to level the charges at all of them, the men I chose. I leveled the charges at them, but it was all about fear based in childhood trauma that I was afraid of real intimacy. So I deliberately, even without thinking, chose Mr. Wrong and then blamed them for being unavailable. Blame them for not being there. Blamed, you name it. And I was 3 years sober when I saw the real truth of that. Why? Because then I did meet the man who was not Mr. Right now, but Mr. Right. And I was afraid to death. And I went back and I did another overhauling look at my relationships that were sexual, romantic in nature, that also included platonic relationships. Where did fear drive me? I will run from it or I'll be paralyzed by it. But to recognize that it's there and that I'm not bad, I am not a bad person because I have it. I am a human being and I have the greatest gift of all. I have the principles of courage, because it's assumed I have a higher power at my back. It could take the form of you all, my sponsors, my sponsees, my sober brothers and sisters in the same journey, that when I look, I don't have to do a sex inventory now. I am a faithful, monogamous person as a wife and mate to to my partner, but I do often have to do an overhauling and a good look at where my relationships might be going skewed, where I am being selfish, where it's this ego of see me, hear me, because I wasn't seen and I wasn't heard. So I had to, in order to get to, and that's a step for another meeting for another time, but the end game is forgiveness, true forgiveness. The end game is to be able to not do what fear dictates to me, and that will change given any day. The end game is for me to be able to live in my skin. I'm a homicider, not a suicider. Even though I've been a little depressed lately. So what? This will pass. This too will pass like a hurricane. And fear is like a Florida hurricane. If I don't pay attention to it, if I don't prepare for it, if I think that I could go out in it and play it and be immune to being hit by lightning or 120 mile an hour winds, then I am now dancing with that crazy stuff right there on my shoulder. And my time is almost up. I'll end with this. Fear is okay. We need it to survive. But my fear is skewed. It's afraid of itself even. My job is to not drink, is to stay in the middle of the herd of Alcoholics Anonymous. Is to be with you all and to really be with you. I don't call myself names. I don't call you names. We are human beings with a program of recovery embodied into principles, which for me don't change. Courage and integrity means that I show fear the respect it deserves in writing, share that with another human being or more, so that I can determine the patterns of behavior that were survival tools like booze, which by the way is lying, cheating, selfishness, self-centeredness, and so forth. Because my greatest fear is being abandoned in many different ways. That doesn't work out very well for me. So, instead of saying, I'm so sick that, so bad that, I say, I'm a human being. I'm okay even when I'm not okay. As long as I don't take a drink, I'll be fine. Because that gets me into the work. And for sex, I have to take a good look. What consenting adults do with each other is not my business. It's time for me to stop now. But fear and sex inventory are linked. Because that's what's going to drive me. I'm not a bad person for having fear. I just need to do the work around it and not do what it tells me to do. I need another person to help me figure that out. That's the integrity part of step 5. I have no clue if I have made any sense whatsoever, but I am a grateful, very grateful this morning, alcoholic, in recovery, recovered from alcohol abuse today, but not from Liz. And that's why I keep coming back as a satisfied customer of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you for inviting me, Sonny. Thank you for letting me share today.